Hey, so the topic today is awakening. Several people alluded to being awake, getting here. I'm really still on my first cup of tea, so if I fall asleep, you can wake me up. And we're just going to kind of relax into this topic and see what comes out, because we can't do everything in one short, brief segment here, but we're going to do what we can. So I was privileged last weekend to have my son and his family, my older son and his family, visit, and it always warms my heart because I love them so much that when they come up, and although it was short, it was packed full of some nuggets of information and connection. So this boy is a senior in high school, and he said to his mom on the way up, "You know, Mom, when you go down to Papa Sandy's basement, it's like living your life again, because you see all the things that captured your interest at different points along the way. Because when you go down there, you see different things according to what your interests are." And I thought, well, that sounds like a book. You know, I think that, and yes, profound too. So then he came up and he said, after spending most of the evening down there, and he's the first grandchild to do that alone, because some of them get pretty scared because there's things down there that there's some stuffed animals and stuff that they don't know what to do with as young people. So they always want someone with them. But Cameron went down, he was exploring the basement, he'd come up with something and go back down and come up. And he said, "You know, it's interesting because I look at this, I'm focused on this, and then all of a sudden I see this other thing." And I thought, isn't that what life is about? And how awakening can happen? Because we get focused on this, and then all of a sudden, right beside it, is something else that I need to be seeing. And we talk about the path a lot. We talk about walking down the path and going towards the goal, and then suddenly veering off to something else, because the goal becomes different, because if we're following our heart, we have to trust our heart is leading us, and yet it can only take us as far as we can go and understand that point, and then we can learn something new, and new again, and new again. So Ernest Holmes has two, doesn't talk about awakening a whole lot in the textbook, but he has two references, and they're both called, interestingly enough, The Great Awakening. The first one comes to, he says, "And he came to himself, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish from hunger." From the prodigal son story. "And he came to himself." And when he came to himself, it was like the thought came. It was an awakening for him to say, there is something different in my father's house that I have access to, so I will go there. So this is the great awakening, when we come to ourselves. When we come to ourselves. And he goes on in this passage to say, in this divine awakening, there seems to be an inner witness. And this is important. It's an inner witness. It's us witnessing ourselves, who remembers that we came from a heavenly state. There seems to be an answer from that great within, which says the Father's house is filled with peace, power, and plenty. The universe is not limited. Creation is the play of life on itself. So we are about we're a playground. In and of our own selves, we're a playground for creation and to become. And the next one is called The Great Awakening. It's from Romans 13:11. It says, "Now is the high time to wake out of sleep. The belief in a life apart from good is a dream from which we must awake if we are to taste the waters of reality. The waters of reality which flow from the source of life. And this awakening is a process of evolution. It's a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here that builds. So that we more." So he references two different types of awakening. That poof awakening that Eckhart Tolle had in The Power of Now when he was 29 and all of it, he was contemplating suicide and thought that that would be much better to this life that he had, and he awoke one day to see everything in a different way. He recognized that the tree was the same tree he had seen, but it was different. And that led him to his journey of meditation and prayer and teaching. So there's this, not a conflict, if you will, but a thing that says in spiritual awakenings, which lead to our idea of spiritual enlightenment. Awakenings are like the little poofs that come, the actions that come, and the enlightenment is a state of being that then we live in. There are people who say enlightenment is far more than some of us really want. It takes us out of our common life and puts us, he spent 2 years on a park bench processing that. That was much different than what he was doing before. 2 years out of your life on a park bench. And then our human mind goes to, oh, I have a home and a family and a job and a, you know, do I want 2 years on a park bench? Mm-hmm. So I would like, for me sometimes, I think I want the little nuggets of awakening. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want the full-blown enlightenment part, but it sure is a different place to live. Mm-hmm. A wholly different place to live. So if you read The Power of Now, you're going to get little things about awakening and enlightenment itself and his particular journey. So Adi Ashanti kind of says the same thing. He spent 14 years with a teacher. She felt like he was enlightened and he should go teach himself. And there are teachers who constantly say there's a book called Enlightenment. It's the damnedest thing, by a person named Joel McKenna, who has no background. We don't know who Joe McKenna is, really. There are people who think it might be Adi Ashanti, but there's no proof of who that this person ever existed. But he talks about the fact that you may not want that. Live a life filled with bliss and joy and wonder and become awakened to the moments, become awake in the now. When Nellie Louth was driving Buddhist monks when they were in the country, she was chauffeuring. And she had one experience that she talked about where they were driving and the weather was bad, ice on the road, and the car did a 360-degree turn. And she, of course, was rattled and shaken and everything. She says the conversation from the monks in the back seat never stopped and never missed a beat because they are at that evolved state where nothing around them can harm them. Nothing around them matters. They're in their moment. When we're in the now moment, we always recognize we're safe and we always recognize that life is forever and there's no harm. Nothing can hurt us, the truth of who we are. Now, I'm not telling you to not be careful of your human form. The human form is very precious, and it's part of this whole spiritual life. So we do want to do our due diligence and be careful. You know, watch who's around you and where you're going and all of that, because there's a purpose for us being here that is more than we can believe, imagine, and we're here to fulfill that in this human form also. Many times people who, one definition of spiritual enlightenment is the complete dissolution of one's identity as a separate self with no egoic mind remaining. That means very few people really get there. Another definition of enlightenment says everyone is already enlightened. And it kind of diminishes the state of enlightenment then. And I believe that we probably are all enlightened, that we have access to that truth within us, but we don't live it. We're not living it out into the world. So there's a blend between these two, that where awakenings occur and enlightenment can creep in, and we can have those moments that are beautiful and surreal and serene and perfect for us to move to the next level. When we differentiate between the words again of enlightenment and awakening, enlightenment implies a more finished place to be and state of being, and awakening is more of an active verb quality. So I think we're having some awakenings right here, right now. So what really matters in our awarenesses is what is happening right now. What is happening right now? So is something happening in this room? Are you connected in this room right now, or is there something else going on that is distracting? Or is everything in the room bringing this to a peak that's more? Everything comes together to bring this to that peak that is more. So are you making yourself aware of the truth of who you are and that everything that is happening is now, 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 now. Now, 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 now. Because a lot of us in our conversations that I heard this morning, me included, said, oh, next weekend I'm doing, and next weekend I'm doing, and this is what's doing, and I'm looking forward to, instead of just breathing and being in this now moment. So if we bring ourselves fully, fully, fully present here, and we'll do that in the exercise coming up later, we'll begin to understand more about what is in the now moment and what am I able to see and not see. Some people make this process of awakening similar to a ladder and rungs of the ladder that we go up. So if I am here and I'm seeing you all at this level, I have a different vantage point than you who are sitting looking at me. If I were to sit down and we all stood up at different times, we would see different things. If I stood on my chair or the table, I would have another totally different view. If as awakenings occur, we can stay mindful and alert to them. Then they can become part of our daily life, part of who we are. We remember, and we can step up to another rung of the ladder and see at a different level. So the beauty is, when you get to the top, you start seeing this panorama and things fitting together, coming together to create a wholeness and a beauty. And the beauty down here is that you're actually in that space doing it. So how do we meld those two? I don't have that answer for you. And this is the part about science of mind that is always like, darn, because it's really an inside job for each of us to do. We all want the burning bush or the great life experience. You know, we hear the mystics tell of their experiences and are different and they're varied. Buddha sat under the tree. Moses had the burning bush. Paul fell down on the road to Damascus. I mean, everyone has an experience. And we think we want that. And it's like the finger pointing to the moon. We think we want that, but what we really want is the experience. And for us to relax and say, let me have my experience, is harder sometimes than saying, I want that experience. Give it to me. Because we all want it easy and we kind of want it fed to us. So it does take work. So or maybe not. You know, I mean, Eckhart Tolle wasn't working for it, was he? So it may not take work. But for many of us, we hear meditate, pray, do your spiritual practices, journal, get close to nature, God, and things will start to move in your life. I think all those things are true. Will you become awakened because you do that? Maybe, and maybe not. Does it make you happier in your life? Probably. Any spiritual practice that you can do to remind yourself of the truth of who you are. And in science of mind, that means there's one life. One is God's life. It's whole, perfect, and complete. So the truth that we come from, that source that creates worlds and universes, and that creative energy flows through us, we have it. And the fact that it's there means we're not going to ever go away. We're always going to be part of this great cosmic soup, life force. So the meditations help. It's up to you to begin to open eyes and ears and feelings and hearts that soften the experience here. When you're riding down the road, are you blessing the person who's on the road with you? When you are at home and someone is needing something from you and you're tired, can you bless that? When it comes time to feed the cats and you're really not feeling well yourself, can you get up and do that for them and say, yes, this is part of life? Can we embrace all segments of our life and say yes to the experience because it's just part of it and still know beyond that? So being in that now moment, it's rather like a gardener planting flowers, and we take all the flowers or seeds and we put them lovingly in the ground. And how many times have you ever heard anyone say, every one of my flowers grew? Every single seed grew. No, we plant the seeds and we nourish them and we put them in the right soil and we let them have light or shade and we take as good of care of them as we can. And something called grace or love and the other things that aren't measurable come into play, that allows one plant to grow and one to not grow as much. So we must treat ourselves just like those plants and nourish this body form and our soul form with loving ourselves, knowing that we have grace through spirit, and knowing that life is fun. That life is fun. You know, if we all took a bowl of this candy and had a little dish to put it in and started doing that, I think we'd probably feel better. Because we forget how much fun that the color and the texture and the sound and the noise and the moving it back and forth can really be. So remember to put that, get back to that energy, that childlike energy, because that's very important. Very important. So our flowers are going to grow or not grow. We can only plant the seeds and nourish them. And I just want you to remember that whatever you're going for, they say stop and smell the roses. I think the whole point of that is to stop and see if there's a new direction. Notice what's next to it. Pay attention. Michael Beckwith told a story once about when he became a vegetarian. He was so excited. And he was loving this. He was finding restaurants all over town. And one day he was on his way home and he noticed a vegetarian restaurant right there in his neighborhood. He was beside himself, stopped, got out of the car, went in and said, I am so glad you are here. I just can't tell you how good it is to have a restaurant right here in my neighborhood. How long have you been here? 13 years. So we only see these things as we're ready. We'll see the same thing. We can walk down the same road and we will see different things when we are ready. That's part of our awakening. That's part of staying awake. So remember when you're looking at something to notice. Just relax your eyes and your body and your spirit and notice. So I wish you all well. I was going to take a poll to see who's all awake, but you all looked awake, so I didn't have to do that. And it's great to be here, and I look forward to our experiential part later. Thank you.
Thank you.
So should we do a treatment?
That'd be good.
Let's do a treatment. Let's do a treatment. Any special requests in this one? Children? Thriving children. And so we take a moment. And cats. And cats.
And friends.
And friends. Mm-hmm. And the group. Mm-hmm. So we just take a moment and breathe and settle into that space. This space, this time, this moment that we have declared as holy and sacred. And by our word, because our word is powerful and because our knowing is powerful. This place becomes holy and sacred. Everything in this room, each person, each chair, each table, is holy and sacred now. And so we bless this meeting space and this time together as we awaken to the truth at a deeper level and a higher level than ever before. We bless those masters who have chosen to be enlightened and who are bringing that teaching forward in so many ways. And there are teachers everywhere, so I bless them. And I bless the fact that we connect with them here now in this prayer at that level. For it has been said that we meet people in prayer that we will never meet on the physical plane. We meet them in prayer as we pray in this sacred way. So right now I'm inviting sacred beings, enlightened beings, be present in, as, and through each one of us, and to speak to the hearts and minds so that there is an awakening, a clarity, a love, and an honoring of who we truly are. And we bless cats and children and this group and all of the fun, amazing, wonderful things that this life has to offer. And I am so very grateful for this time together. I bless it. And until we meet again, I simply release these words and say yes to that universe of love and grace. And so it is.
So it is. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know that Carlos only liked you to be with us.